Well, a pleasant evening to each of you. If you have your Bible tonight, if you'll turn with me to the 56th Psalm, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment, Psalm 56. I appreciate so much your presence tonight where we can study the divine revelation, make application, and take it home and apply it to our lives. If there's any who's never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made convenient tonight where you can become a child of God by having your sins blotted out by the blood of the Lamb, by being buried in the grave of baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. Or if you need to be restored, our prayer will be that you do so this very evening. In the 56th Psalm, look if you will at verse 8. You number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? If you have your Bible this evening, look at that phrase, you put my tears into your bottle. When you read your Bible, and especially about the life of David, and examine the different Psalms, you'll find David was truly a great man of God. However, he was a man who, as you study, faced many adversity, tragedy, and trouble in life. You know, you can turn to the 55th Psalm in about verse 6, and you remember the cry of David, one of deep words, when he said, "If I had the wings of a dove, I'd fly away and be at rest." Or you could turn to the 13th Psalm, and you'll recall that on that occasion, when David cried out, "How long must I cry?" At that time, David was wondering where God was and why God had not answered his prayer. But now we hear in the 56th Psalm, this man, as he prays to the God of heaven, and notice as he prays from the heart, he is asking God about tears. You know, it was the custom of that day, when you were weeping or mourning, to catch tears and to put them in a bottle. If a loved one died, you would catch your tears in the bottle, and then when they would bury the corpse, you would put the bottle in with the body. And I want you to think about, at that time, people catching tears. And notice what David said in the 56th Psalm, that in a figurative sense, God has a bottle and God stores our tears. That the God of heaven witnesses every tear that falls from our eye. God knows every pain in the heart of man and women, his children. And God understands the grief of man. And God catches our tears. You think about every tear that has streamed down from your face. God was there. God saw that tear. And God gathered that into a bottle. I want us to think about tears we've shed and think about God gathering them into his bottle. I want to talk just for a few minutes about God's tear bottle. The first thing I want to put into my mind and your mind is tears of repentance. Have you ever thought about how many a person has awakened and realized they were in sin, that they'd done wrong, and they shed many tears? You know, one thing that I appreciate is when an individual is truly repentant. You'll find Judas in the Bible was a man who had remorse and regret, but he did not repent. There are some people who they regret getting caught for their action, and there are some people who may have remorse, but there's a difference between remorse and regret and true repentance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, when a man truly repents, God accepts it. And that's why Paul said, godly sorrow leads to repentance. When I'm sorrowful for what I've done, and my heart is broken, and I'm contrite, then my friend, I will shed tears. Now that doesn't mean everyone's going to shed literal tears, but I'll tell you what it means. Your heart is broken over your sin. And I want you to think about the people who have truly repented. In your Bible, in the book of Acts, in the second chapter, on the day of Pentecost, when they had realized they had crucified the Christ, and they said, "What shall we do?" In verse 38, you remember Peter said, "Repent." Now, he also instructed them to be baptized for the remission of sins. But I want us to understand repentance comes before baptism because we're sorry for what we've done, and then we're going to put to death that old life and be raised to walk in newness of life. Repentance is a change. It's changing from one way to another. It's about face. If you were walking in the military, you would turn and do an about face if you were to repent. And so it's a change of mind that leads to a change of life. Take your Bible and sometime just look in the Gospel of Luke in the 7th chapter. And when you look through verses 36 through 40, you remember the woman that came when Jesus was eating at Simon the Pharisee's house, and she wept tears. You remember that she wiped her hair. She took her hair and wiped the feet of Jesus after she washed his feet with her tears, and then she anointed his feet. That's what you call repentance. And don't you know, my friend, God saw those tears. God gathered them in his bottle. He saw a woman who was heartbroken over her past. And now she has changed, and God's grace blotted out her sin. Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. He said, your sins are forgiven. Then if you take your Bible, look in the Gospel of Luke in the 22nd chapter. And when you come to Luke 22 and verse 62, after Peter denied the Lord three times, one thing I know, the Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly. Here was a man who was a rugged fisherman, men of men, tough as could be, and what's he do? He unashamedly weeps tears. Why? He was sorrowful for his sin. I believe they are put into God's bottle and he remembers when we have shown true repentance. But I want you to think about something else. I want you to think about tears that have been shed because of parental anxiety. You know, sometime when you're a parent, you go through anxiety, and I don't know if young men and young ladies appreciate as much as they should the fact that parents shed tears over their children. You can take your Bible and look in 2 Kings 18. And you remember that David shed tears over his son Absalom, who lived in rebellion. And you remember that when they were about to go to war, David pled with Joab, the captain of the army, deal gently with this young man for my sake. But you remember what Joab did. Joab killed him. And the Bible says that David went crying and weeping, saying, Absalom, Absalom, oh my son, Absalom, had it been I that had died. Here was a man who wept over his son. But then if you take your Bible, look in the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter. And look at the father whose son had gone into the far country. And think of the tears he shed. And you remember that when the son finally came home, he said, my son which is lost is found. My son which is dead is alive. And that man's tears of sorrow and anxiety turned to joy. Now you know, my friend, we got some parents tonight, their children are just little tots. And we enjoy when they're little tots because one thing we understand, they can step on your toes. But I'll tell you, my friend, when they get a little older, they can step on your heart. And one thing we need to remember is that children, when they come of age, have free moral will. And they're going to make their own decision. But one thing we can do is remember that God sees our tears when the child has gone astray. I don't know how many times I've had people that I know who've wet their pillow at night with tears because their children were astray. And yet God sees every tear that falls from the eye. He catches them in his bottle and remembers. But then if you have your Bible, turn with me to the 119th Psalm. And David, or the writer of the 119th Psalm, gives another great statement in verse 136. In verse 136, he said, rivers of water run down from mine eyes because men do not keep your law. Have you ever thought about those who've wept because of the people who keep not the law of God? I think you can feel them in the prayers and heart's desire of Paul when you read what Paul said in Romans 10 verses 1 through 3. When Paul was talking about the people of Israel, he says in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Now then, I want you to think about the people who have lived in sin. And I want you to look out and think about our country. How many people today are living in immoral condition? How many people turn their back on God? How many people now persecute the way? And as I talk to a friend today, I'll tell you, we need to start preparing our young men and young ladies to be ready to be persecuted economically, bodily, and in every other way. Because I'll tell you, my friend, there are different groups who've turned against Christianity and they're making a mockery of it, and you can mark it down, you're going to face trials. And I'll tell you, it's sad to look out and to shed tears because of the country that we love and yet see the immorality therein. But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts in the 20th chapter. And I want us to understand that there are times that even a preacher will shed tears. In Acts 20, look at what the Apostle Paul said in verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now here, Paul was a great man of God, a man of great faith, and yet he shed tears when he was preaching the gospel night and day. You know, some people would say, well, that's just a sign of weakness. That just shows that Paul wasn't a strong man. I beg to differ. I'll tell you, sometimes, my friend, lack of tears or lack of sorrow or lack of a tender heart leads someone to have a hard heart where they have no feeling. Now, you may not be one to literally shed tears, but my friend, you can weep on the inside and God will collect it. You know why preachers have shed a lot of tears? Because they're concerned. Like elders and deacons and others in the household of God, they're concerned about souls of individuals who make up the body. Not only are we concerned about the lost, we're concerned about those who we see walking away from God. And in our day and time, you've got to be careful because there have been so many led astray. And there's so many who've walked away, and I've often thought about God catching the tears of preachers and elders and men, who women, who weep over those who are no longer living right. But that brings up something else. When sickness comes, I think we all can agree that when sickness comes, it's a time we shed tears. In 2 Corinthians 12, when the Apostle Paul had prayed unto the God of heaven about the thorn in the flesh and asked God to remove it, and God would not remove it, you remember God said, "My grace is sufficient for me." That didn't mean God ignored Paul's pain. He saw it. He caught his tears in a bottle and remembered it. It just meant that God's not going to remove every thorn, thistle, and problem we have in life. You want to know why? We live in a fallen world. And we wouldn't look forward to heaven if we did not understand that that place has none of those things. But I want to bring something else to your mind. When death comes, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, you'll see it's evident that some were shedding tears over loved ones. But Paul said, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep as those who have no hope." Now, I'll tell you, that didn't mean they didn't shed tears. It just meant they had hope of seeing their loved one again. And I thought about my friend, Paul tells them, "Do not sorrow as those who have no hope." You remember in Luke 7? You remember when the widow of Nain was coming out to bury her son and the pain that was in her heart? To bury a loved one and she's weeping? In John 11, Mary and Martha are weeping over the death of their brother. I'll tell you, that's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of compassion. And Jesus catches those tears. The Lord puts them in His bottle. When you're at the graveside, or you're at the home, or in the local church, God sees our heartaches. He sees what we're going through, and He says, "You continue with me. I have caught your tears." That brings up three or four things in the lesson years. In our day and time, we need to see that God catches our tears of repentance. in the year 2020, my tears, your tears, when we shed tears, when we truly repent of our sin, when we feel sorrow for our past, and we're trying to do better, and we cry out to God for forgiveness, my God will catch those tears, and my God will forgive me. Have you ever shed tears over things you've done wrong? Those tears aren't in vain. God sees those tears and God puts them in His bottle. But then secondly, God catches the tears of parents and who are anxious over their children. Tears of pain and tears of hurt. God remembers every tear you've shed of concern. And He remembers every prayer you've uttered. But thirdly, God catches every tear we shed over those who keep not the law. You know, when you see moral decay, it can cut to the heart. But don't ever think that God doesn't see our hurt and God doesn't see our pain. I'll tell you, my friend, God sees the tears that fall from our eyes. But I'll tell you something else. God sees the tears of elders and preachers. You know, God sees when there are people concerned over the direction of people. And I'll tell you, it's not a sign of weakness but compassion when one weeps when preaching the gospel of Christ. I've sometimes heard some people almost belittle a preacher when he weeps when he's preaching. I'll tell you, my friend, if a man's heart's right with God, there's going to be times tears are going to fall from his eyes when he preaches. And he looks out at an audience and he sees the needs of people and they don't see their own. But that brings up nothing else. Have you ever thought about sickness? Have you ever thought about caring for an aged parent? When the tables turn and no longer do they care for themselves, but you have to make decisions? Or when a spouse is sick? I'll never forget when my mother was dying, my father was helping her, and she said, "I'm so sorry you have to do this." And he said, "You do it for me." And how many times not only is the one who's sick weeping, but the caregiver weeps. And those tears God catches in His bottle. And when death comes, and we stand at the grave of a loved one, and we sweep tears down our eyes, God catches the tears. I read about a preacher who was visiting a young man who was dying. And the preacher spoke to the young man about heaven. And as this young Christian was dying, he began to cry. And the preacher took out a handkerchief and wiped his tears. And the young man looked up at him and he said, "You know, the next time someone wipes my tears, it will be my Heavenly Father." In Revelation 24:1-4, God will wipe away every tear. Your tears aren't in vain. They're put in God's bottle and remember. And if you shed tears, you remember one thing. You're more like Jesus. Jesus shed tears. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Our tears make us more like Jesus. You know what's the saddest thing? Is when we don't weep now, but we weep in the judgment because we didn't obey God. The saddest tear isn't shed this side of eternity. It's shed when we had the opportunity to obey God and didn't do it. Better to shed tears of repentance tonight than to weep for all eternity. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.